What's up, everybody? Welcome to Your Favorite Fight. I'm your host, David Golden. Just wanted to say right up front, thanks to everybody for listening to that last podcast, the Conor McGregor Floyd Mayweather spectacular. Jake and I had a lot of fun doing that one. I'm glad you guys liked it. I think you'll hear Jake back on the podcast pretty soon. I think we're gonna try to make that a regular thing for the two of us, because we have a good time getting together. But this week I have an awesome guest. I have a 2-2 professional MMA fighter with me. He's from Eugene, Oregon, trains down at Art of War MMA. We have tonight Kevin Baim.
Heck yeah.
What's up, man?
Just excited to be here. Thank you guys for having me tonight, and thank you, Alistair, for supplying this over here. So but at the Staybridge Suites, so
excited to be up here. Staybridge Suites, recording in a fancy office setting.
This is awesome, man. It feels like some next level stuff. I tell you what, excited the whole way up here.
Yeah, so. It's cool, man. I normally do this, at my house or at somebody's gym or at somebody's house, you know, wherever. So it's nice to have a cool spot to do this. Kevin fights right now. He trains down at Art of War MMA in Eugene, and he's got a fight coming up in September for Prime Fighting. He'll be fighting Prime Fighting 10 against Brandon Cromartie. I know you're pretty excited about that one.
Oh yeah, I'm very fired up for that one. It's going to be an exciting fight. September 30th.
It's on my birthday, man.
Heck yeah! Well, come on in. I'll be there.
Yeah, I know there's a little bad blood between you and Cromartie, a little bit.
It's not even Cromartie as much as it's Austin and Steve Southern. You know, I want my rematch with Steve Southern, and I'll say it here, I'll say it over and over until it happens. But Cromartie is his teammate, so I'm happy to have my pigeons deliver messages. You know, it's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that was a tough fight. That was a tough fight with Steven Southern. I mean, I wrote about it after that event. That was
awesome article, by the way. That was fun to read. It's just,
thanks, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that fight in particular was really good, because it was one of those fight of the night kind of fights, because it was really back and forth. And I think I watched it, you know, back I watched it back on Comcast Sports, because it aired on CSN, and I recorded it, and like watching it on Comcast, like it was still such a good fight. But man, live, that fight was so intense. Just the blood and I could hear you guys in there just really grinding and going for it, the grit and the grunts, like
excited.
Yeah, it was that was a killer fight, man. And then I want to clarify something. In that article, it was a while ago, I said that Kevin broke his nose.
Never broke. I just bled.
Told me his nose wasn't broken. I've seen a bunch of broken noses, and if you had told me it was, I would have believed you, because it was bloody. But
I thought it was going to be broken. I swear, the weirdest feeling in the world. I've never had that happen. I went over to my corner, and I'm getting those big old Q-tips shoved up my nose. That was weird, but they weren't broken, and so it just made a more fun fight.
You know? Made it a little more dramatic.
It's a Kevin Baim type fight. They always got to be a little bit wild, get the atmosphere a little bit crazy.
Yeah, you get hype coming out there. If anybody's ever seen Kevin fight, he gets really excited coming in. Usually comes into some metal, comes out, gets hyped up. You know.
Oh man, I come into anything and everything. I've walked out to country, rap, metal, Irish bagpipes. It's
whatever gets your juices flowing at the time.
Oh, whatever gets going for that fight. Each fight's got a particular one. This one, if anybody hearing about it, I'm trying to get this going. When I walk out on this next fight, I just want slight music, and I want the whole crowd cheering for the fight. And that's it. This crowd's what gets me going, what motivates me, and what kind of, I don't know, brings the fight. So this, I got a show to show you guys. Just show up and be loud for me.
Yeah. Right on, man. That's awesome. So we're here to talk about Kevin's favorite fight. And a lot of times I ask guys, like, hey, what's your favorite fight? And they're like, oh, man, I don't know. I can't decide. And they'll take 2 or 3 days to figure it out. But Kevin hit me back pretty fast. He knew right off the bat what his favorite fight was. So let's get right into it. Kevin, what's your favorite fight?
George St. Pierre versus Carlos Condit.
Woo! Excellent fight. UFC 154. Man. It feels like it was forever ago now, even though it wasn't that long ago. But man, what a slobber knocker of a fight.
I feel like that was I hope I'm right on my timeline on this. I want to say that was the original Rory McDonald versus Lawler round two type deal.
Oh,
you know?
Was that on that card as well?
No. I'm saying this. I'm pretty sure this one came first. If I remember right, St. Pierre.
Yeah.
And that one was one of those first fights where it was just bloody as hell, and it was both men, and it wasn't over till it was over.
Yeah.
That's the coolest part about that fight. It excited me so much just watching those guys. I mean, George in his position, he had been on, like, he'd been dominant, always dominant. What was he on? One of the longest streaks in history. And
championship
streaks. Yeah, sorry.
I think he had 9, but then he had the injury, so he's coming back off an ACL. I mean, he had, or was it both?
It was coming off of the injury.
Or was it just the...
And they were talking actually about during this one, he had lifted a lot more too during the stuff, and like he was saying that it was showing, you know, that even the commentator was talking about how, like, the lifting was showing. It was a new, possibly even improved George. And, like, if you see George St. Pierre, no, I'm not saying it was improved. I'm saying they could have, they were saying that with his lifting, we might see a new improved George. The fact of seeing a new George St. Pierre any better than he already was, that would have been amazing. And he still showed up and did just what he did. And he's got such a dominant style that it just worked perfect. But then there's Carlos Condit, the man who just, that guy has heart. He will not stop. He'll kill that guy in the cage before he stops. And he's a smart guy too. Also, if you watch, like, I know he's kind of died out on the scene a little bit, but he was just paying attention to his brain, and anything that, if he had any miswarnings, he was just looking around, you know, he was being cautious. That's something that all fighters should be aware of as well. Just be smart about what you got going with your body. And Carlos Condit, not only was he an amazing fighter with all heart, he was also very smart. So,
So you're a big GSP fan, I take it. Like you're mentioning.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I love GSP. You know, he's got a style that you know is going to come. He had the nicest jab in MMA, and then he comes in with his wrestling. And keep in mind, like, wrestling. The best of the best and dominating the best of the best. Dude wasn't even a high school wrestler, was he? He did Kyokushin karate since he was a little kid. He brought in his style, his discipline. Man, he was everything. I remember the documentary's words, not mine. They're saying he was the type that women wanted and that men wanted to be. You know, he was the guy. It's just coming in, dominating everybody. It was so cool. And his style. He was pressure against the fence. He'd take him down. He'd hold him down there on the ground, and the dude wouldn't get up. I don't know, like, if you guys ever see my fight, kind of sound familiar? I mean, I like that style. It wins. In his career, he'd fought Nick Diaz, too. That was another one.
It was a weird fight, though, that fight with Diaz, because I think Diaz, at that point in his career, especially, you know, he's coming back into the UFC, and he's had all these spectacular fights. I think for Diaz, I don't think he game planned to necessarily, like, dominate that fight or try to stop GSP's momentum or takedowns or anything. Because, you know, I mean, when you look at the end result of that fight, that's a GSP win, hands down. But then you see how Nick Diaz handled it, and Nick Diaz didn't feel like it was really much of anything, you know, in terms of what it did to him. So that fight was really weird to me, man. That was a weird one. But
and there was a few other fights George had too, like, kind of going out that were slower than where he was. But we all got to be realist here, you know. He's still making his wins do with the he's aging in the sport too. Whether he's fighting young guys with better cardio or what, you know, with the Hendricks, I want to say, like, I started seeing the biggest change after he fought Dan Hardy.
Sure.
That fight with Dan Hardy was a bit slow-paced, and even he was apologizing about that one. And he had a few fast times since that. But he always kind of had that same style. He carried it all the way to the Condit fight, and that's what made it so great. It was, like, the style of, like, pressure on the ground. Get out. Diaz was grabbing at his legs. He was doing the perfect ways around, you know, just like with Condit. And what was so cool was Condit, on the other hand, is under him in guard, throwing beast strikes, just throwing these haymakers from the bottom guard. I've never seen anybody get hit so hard from being on top. So, like, that was just, like, that was a credit to his heart, you know? Like, Condit wasn't going to stop fighting until the fight was done.
Yeah, that's Carlos Condit's style. Yeah, I think when you compare those two as fighters, you know, going into this matchup, they couldn't be any more different stylistically, even though they train with a lot of the same people. Mm-hmm. You know, my big concern with Carlos Condit in every one of his fights, because I'm a huge Carlos Condit fan. I have been a big Carlos Condit fan for a long time, and I liked GSP early on, but the longer we got in his career, the less I was really feeling what he was doing, because you know, I like the guy. I like, you know, he's super exciting when he wants to be, but all those times that he gave up these what could have been dominant wins early for these like grinding decisions kind of bummed me out. And so I sort of had gotten away from being a big GSP fan and had really taken to a guy like Carlos Condit.
The explosive trying to go for the finish.
He goes for the finish and he does all these things. But I think the big difference for me between the two of them is that Carlos Condit really doesn't stick to a game plan the way GSP will stick to a game plan. So GSP listens to his coaches and they come up with this plan that makes sense for him in a fight, and he follows it to a T, and if it's not working, they adjust in the corner and they change things. And Carlos Condit, I think, is the type of guy who will get comfortable with what he's doing, and he'll be totally content with letting the other person dictate where the fight's going until he finds a window or he has something that he sees, you know? And so that's a huge difference between them. So going into this fight, I was really wondering what would happen, you know? It would be pretty interesting. So let's dive in directly into the fight. Let's dive into round one. Right out of the gate, seeing as how GSP had this layoff, I thought it was pretty surprising that he immediately jumped in and just took the center of the octagon.
Yeah.
Like right out of the gate. I thought that was crazy. I thought Condit at this point in his career, you know, with that interim belt, man, I thought he would have been way more aggressive coming out, you know, to start. But he really let GSP dictate that whole first part of that first round.
Yeah, and that first part of the round, what I've noticed, and I like the style about it, was he when he would keep his back in the center, or he would keep he'd back up in the center of the ring the whole entire time, and you know, always one step away so he can get in, he can get up. Like he was just in perfect distance. He was in perfect distance on that fight, setting up for his wrestling and striking combinations. Yeah. You know, he was MMA in that sense, using striking for better takedowns, but like using really good distance in the fact of not letting Carlos come forward too much. And which is surprising because Carlos is that, like, he makes his brief little moments for it.
Yeah.
But GSP would always redirect it and for sure. Keep his back on that. Yeah, and so that's what I mean in, like, the cage control. Like, GSP had a very good source of cage control, and that's why that fight kind of originally started to stand out for me, was I was trying to figure good forms of keeping that back towards the center.
And totally. I saw that too, and I think more than just the combinations he was using, I thought in the first round he was using footwork, like you were saying, he was using footwork to really dictate things. But I don't know if it was as much him keeping it at the distance he wanted as Condit not being comfortable getting into a range that made sense for him. But even though they had issues with range, I thought early on Condit was actually landing the cleaner punches. Like in that first round, when they were still standing up, he was landing the cleaner punches early before GSP got that monster takedown. And with that, you fall into one of those classic Carlos Condit traps where Condit is way too comfortable on his back. Like that might be like the thing that I hate the most about Carlos Condit. Like I love Carlos Condit. Like I love watching him fight, but the minute he gets in there with a wrestler, they take him down and he's like, "I got sick jiu-jitsu, bro. I'm good." And he just is like comfortable to lay on his back.
It didn't seem like he was going for it didn't seem, you know, there was a lot of the rounds too. I don't even recall if it was even as much in the first round even, but when he would get to his back, I didn't notice a lot of like trying to attack too much submission even.
Yeah,
you know, there was the wild strikes, but he wasn't going for a lot of stuff. And I don't know if it was maybe he respects George is wrestling and, you know, setting up stuff like a triangle on a guy who can pass on a triangle.
Yeah.
There's a triangle, but there's also sometimes I just want you to go for a triangle.
Yeah. So he only went for a triangle once, but he went for a bunch of arm bars and he went for a couple Kimuras and he was always looking for that arm bar. But I don't know if he was really committed.
He wasn't committing to any of those.
Like,
yeah,
it was almost like he was using it as a tool to see if he could get GSP to move and then get up. But like in modern day MMA, like you have to know how to get to the cage and use the cage to get back to your feet. And I know Carlos Condit knows how to do that, but for some reason he just wouldn't do it. And so that first round, like, GSP got comfortable in the cage again, like, you know, after the absence.
Shook off the 5 minutes of ring rust, right? You know.
And then immediately he throws a combination, gets the takedown, just like old GSP, and then before the round ends, lands a monster elbow and cuts Carlos Condit.
Yeah, like, that's when the fight started.
Right above his right eyebrow, to the side. And man, it was like, okay, here it is. Here's GSP doing GSP like all over again.
Yep, just coming in and doing how. Yeah, that's what, you know, and that's what made it so exciting too. Is you start seeing when it's coming in. I think that was actually around the time when they just started kind of complimenting in his lifting as well, like, or complimenting like his new comeback possibly being good.
Yeah,
and he's so explosive in the game. I'm sorry, I'm losing track of my words. You know,
he is very explosive, and they did mention that lifting that he had been doing and the strength training, and they were saying he had never done it before, which is bullshit.
Nobody. I've seen some of the Olympic training videos.
Dude, nobody looks like GSP. Like, the motherfucker doesn't just get out of bed with ripped shoulders and delts and you know what I mean. Like, homeboy was ripped. Like I don't care how many sit-ups and pull-ups you do. I don't care how many P90X programs you run. Like, homeboy was lifting weights. Maybe he wasn't doing like Olympic level lifting. But, like, dude was lifting weights. But in this fight, he obviously looked different. His quads were massive. Oh, you know, he had huge. Will Brooks style quads, or like Ben Henderson quads or something, you know?
Yeah.
And not that he needed that to be explosive, because he's already like uber explosive. But yeah, man.
That brings in the concept of maybe when, you know, while Condit wasn't getting out of too much, or like those armor. He was solid, you know. GSP's got that solid wrestling pressure where he could just push down and keep a lot of shit from happening.
Yeah,
it sounds like, you know, what was Jake Shields type guy? Sorry, yeah. Maybe he's a little local. I shouldn't say it, but he's a blanket. You know, like,
yeah. But Jake Shields, and I've said it on his podcast a handful of times. GSP has said on more than one occasion, Jake Shields is the hardest fight he ever fought. Yeah. Jake Shields wrestling is legit.
Yeah,
like, no, homeboy out wrestled so Dan good. Henderson when they fought in Strikeforce. Like, I watched him, you know, I watched him in person at Submission Underground twice. Dude is so strong, and dude is so strong in the top position especially.
Oh, I won't take away anything from his wrestling.
But he doesn't look like GSP. So if he's explosive and strong, I can't imagine what it feels like to have GSP on top of you. Forget it.
And you got to think on his motivation. He's coming back into trying to get that. You know, he's still got that grind in there. But, you know, it also kind of puts in the worry of the fact of, like, okay, just this, when GSP was even on top of a lot, he was throwing something, and then he would go to control, and there would be certain times he was controlling that I'd kind of worried more about, like, not Dan Henderson, or not Dan Henderson, but not the Dan Hardy fight again.
Yeah,
you know, I don't want to see that again. But they kept it going, and then when what round was it? Condit had. Top position for briefly, and they ended up coming up.
Yeah, that's round three, but we'll get to that. Let's jump into round two, because round one was really, I thought, classic. Like, GSP goes in, feels things out, takes center control, gets that takedown, and then cuts him. Like, you know, he's got to feel great. And then you go into round two, and right out of the gate, there were some good exchanges, but I still thought Condit seemed like really hesitant to get to get into a true striking range. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like
to get into his He's got like that flow momentum. You could see it when Condit clicks.
Yeah,
you know, and he wasn't getting that same kind of click. He had a few exchanges where it was like you were saying, kind of back and forth a little bit, where you'd see him almost kind of click into rhythm. Uh-huh. I think he has that punch kick combo he likes a lot. I can't remember it off the top of the head, but he let that one go. And that was that when he starts getting in momentum, that's when. But he just couldn't catch it on George St. Pierre.
Yeah, I see it a lot in especially in young fighters who are learning how to strike. You see it in amateur fighters. Tonight I was doing there was a press conference out of Bridge City Fight Shop, and Johnny James was there. Johnny James fights out of Gracie Baja up here, and he's a really athletic guy, and he fought on the last prime card as well. And in his fight, I thought it was a really awesome fight, and I think he's a great up and coming fighter. And I was watching him work mitts with Rudy Garza, and I'm thinking, boy, I wonder what it's going to look like when this kid gets in the cage. And he had a lot of trouble finding his range early, and I think that people forget that even professionals with 20 and 30 fights can have trouble finding their range. And so I see young fighters like a guy like Johnny James, or I see young fighters even like you, right? Yeah. You know, you have four professional fights, and you have what? How many amateur fights did you have? You have like a dozen or something.
13,
yeah,
14, something.
So, you know, but like even now, I'm sure that if you get in there and you're in a striking situation with a guy who you're not comfortable with, it's going to be hard to develop that range. And so for
Stevie,
Stevie
was a perfect example of that, man. Like I went in there, I was just coming off of 6 months. So before that fight, I had been knocked out at King of the Cage. Prior to that, I made my pro debut and had a real nice display. You know, I had a real good display, one of the best. Second, I go in and I'm having a good display and I get clipped. I had my 6 months off. I come back in, and when I was against Stevie, I was like, I couldn't find my range. Every punch I would throw is just like, just an inch away.
And that's got to be frustrating. So imagine how it feels for Carlos Condit, a guy who at the time is 28-5, holding the interim title, you know, former WEC title holder. You know, a guy who just went in there and fought Nick Diaz and held his own, even though I thought Diaz won that fight. And I'm a Conda guy, but like I love Nick Diaz too, and I thought Nick Diaz probably got the better of him that fight personally. But like, still, you're in there with a guy who's an incredible striker, and so for him, like, how frustrating must it have been? And it was only like in that second round, it was like a minute and 15 into the round. GSP lands like a clean jab, like he always does.
Yeah.
And Condit responds with a combo, which lands, but he gets Carlos Condit over, like Carlos Condit crazy, and like tries to do like a jumping step in knee,
and GSP just straights down the down the center, right? Yeah. That was beautiful.
Well, that's the end of the round for Carlos Condit, because GSP again gets back on top
and does what GSP does.
Too powerful to do anything. Mm-hmm. But the first round and then again in the second round, Carlos Condit did do one thing really well that I didn't see GSP doing nearly as much.
What was that?
Condit went to the body a lot in this fight, and he started it in round one. He started early going to the body, and I think that's really smart when you consider GSP's coming off of a heavy layoff.
Empty the gas tank early, you know, it works.
Yeah, totally. And so even though he spent the majority of that round on his back, at least he's doing something that could potentially set him up for a win in the fourth and fifth round should the fight go on that long. Mm. And you know, a lot of young fighters might not have thought of that, you know.
No,
young fighters are thinking like, oh, I'm gonna kick this guy's ass, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that, where a veteran fighter, a guy with over 30 fights, is thinking, I'm gonna set him up for the fourth round with this body shot.
You look at even the body types, right? Like with George St. Pierre, George St. Pierre's had a lot of the longer fights, and like I said, he's had his wrestling to keep him above, but he's just, Condit kind of can have more of that aggressive type for a longer period of time. George St. Pierre's got that short muscle body too. He's working on his body the whole time, just, you know, as every punch that he's doing is working in that long run. Condit's still the younger fighter. Condit's still the one where he can still win in those late rounds by setting up now. And that's kind of like where we go back to, you know, saying how smart, you know, his fighter IQ. That was one thing that always stood out about Carlos Condit is his technique. I think another person who I liked, like his in a fight, in another high fighter IQ, was like a Kenny Florian type deal.
Yeah.
Where they were just really smart fighters. And so with Condit setting up on the body, that's a good things to look at, you know, and for other amateur fighters out there watching on, like, or, you know, other people just learning on it. If you're not thinking on it, just always be drilling that body. And Condit, you know, he showed it in those rounds where he was going for those technical strikes.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, it was good. The thing though, I mean, obviously he's trying to set things up for later. He's, you know, he's doing what he can to set things up for later. And for Condit, I think it paid dividends in round three. And round three is far and away the most exciting round in this fight, because there's the head kick. So,
head kick, yeah.
So GSP comes out in round three, takes the center again, and it's only 30 seconds into the round. Condit throws a left-right head kick combination. Yeah. That, you know, he throws that 1-2 head kick. And cracks GSP like right
Everybody goes crazy.
Yeah, place goes nuts, and GSP drops. I mean, it's very reminiscent of the Matt Serra fight. You know, like,
yeah, that was a hard one for GSP too. Yeah,
right. And so, you know, he does that, and he puts him down. And Carlos, even to his credit, jumps in and tries to take GSP's back.
Right. He went all over him. Carlos Condit, like. When he wasn't, he didn't even have any pause between, okay, there was no thought about maybe I go in on the ground. It was, you know, that this guy's might get back on top, but Carlos didn't think that at all. You know, he saw the kill and he was going for it. He smelled blood and went for the kill. You know, he was trying, winging like crazy all the way up until the exchange, you know, as they're coming up. Like I was mentioning, you know, like that was a battle right there, just watching Condit start swinging away at George.
Yeah.
And that was one of, like, I thought that was when Carlos was gonna win. I was waiting, but I could see George, he wasn't done yet, you know.
He was moving
and defending and staying smart. He's also, both, you know, being the veteran too, you kind of know. I've always been I do it myself, I don't know really how to explain it, but You know when you're in danger, and you know what's protecting you and what's not. You know, sometimes you can have your arm protecting your head, and they're punching, and lots of punches are coming. But you have that protection. Like, you have the little bits of the natural protection you give yourself over time. And that's like the experienced fighters just have more muscle memory on blocking in. And George St. Pierre just kicks straight into muscle memory.
Yeah,
and that was fun to watch.
Yeah, you know, the thing that I noticed in that attack was that Carlos Condit is a much like he's much more I don't want to just say aggressive, but his ground and pound is way more violent, I would say, than GSP's.
Vicious.
GSP, like, if you watch throughout this fight, GSP what he tends to do is throw with precision. So, like, his punches are very crisp and clean, and he throws and knows he's going to connect, you know, in a lot of instances. When he throws a hook, he knows that he's going to land. You know, he's not throwing a hook just to throw it out there. He's throwing it to hit you, and so he might throw less. He might throw less. Like, I didn't go look at the CompuStrike numbers. I mean, I know GSP outlanded him, but, like, if you look at strikes thrown, like, if you look at the percentage, I bet you anything GSP's percentage is probably 15 or 20% better than Carlos Condit's in the fight. But Condit throws with the intent to kill, you know what I mean? Like, and so when he is on top of GSP in this round, he's throwing elbows and punches that are so much harder than those that GSP threw, with the exception of, like, two elbows
and the one that cut him.
But, like, for the most part, I mean, Condit goes, like, immediately, like, aggressive neon belly. He's throwing punches. He's throwing elbows. He gets back in the guard. He's throwing elbows. Then GSP turns, and he tries to take his back. Like, Condit is really, like, the looking for a finish killer kind of guy. And I wonder if GSP had a little more of that in him. Like, how much more fondly would we remember him? Because now, GSP, people kind of,
He went out slowly.
They're not negative about him, you know, but like, but like he has that stigma of a dude who fights to decisions, you know, and that's not something anybody wants.
Well, earlier career, not as much, but you know, towards the end, yeah, that's the way that's he does that, you know, and that's that fight. In that case, he was, if he would have been able, if GSP could finish like Carlos Condit did throughout, like having that aggressiveness, because he obviously had the athleticism. It was just kind of whether he wanted to put it all into 5-10 minutes or he knows that it's going to go 15 minutes. And I've heard that George St. Pierre used to get really nervous about the fight. So I wonder if that like started kind of playing a factor on like everything too, and like confidence wise, just. Being confident, Carlos Condit, when he went for it, he was confident that he was going for that kill and going to win. Mm-hmm. You know that those guys come in and they don't hold back, they don't fear about being. Which is funny because we were talking about how he would go for the body shots to go into the late rounds earlier. But when he sees his thing, he'll leave all of his energy in the cage right there. You know, and try to go for the kill. And let's say GSP gets back up like he did. He's got a little bit of recovery to do now, but he still went all in and could have pulled out the finish.
That's, you know what? It's funny you say that. That's what I think lost Carlos Condit the fight against Robbie Lawler. I didn't see that one. It was a war, and Lawler wins the belt. You know, in that fight, but I mean. I've watched that fight quite a few times, and I still think Carlos Condit won the fight. But Condit does that thing where he you know puts it all out there, and come the end of that fight, he was so exhausted, and Lawler had the ability to turn it on for another four minutes.
When you go for the finish, and it's not quite there, yeah.
But that made the difference in that fight. I mean, that's what won Robbie Lawler that fight, you know. And then he goes on this incredible run, you know, and he has that, you know, he has that war with Rory McDonald, and you know, so he has. You know, he has a lot to I would say thank Carlos Condit for in a sense, but Carlos Condit, you're right, does that thing where he really leaves it out there. And in this instance, you know, if we're looking back at round three still, you know, he tried really hard, but it only took GSP like a minute to get back up to his feet.
Mm-hmm.
And for Carlos Condit, that must have been so disheartening. I mean, can you imagine?
You just kicked a dude
as hard as you've ever landed a head kick on anybody. You got on top of him, you're landing elbows to the guy, and then a minute later, he's back to his feet, and he is...
in good composure.
And he's pressing him. Immediately pressing him back to how it was.
Right, exactly. That was what was so fascinating about it. Like, I couldn't imagine being in Condit's position at that. Like, he just gave everything he had to almost beat George St. Pierre, that name. And then the dude gets up and little bit beat up, but still pretty good composure, coming straight down the center and pushing you back against the cage.
Yeah, totally.
Right back to the takedowns.
Exactly.
What the heck? You know, like that's that style, you know, and that's one reason why I've always liked that George St. Pierre style, even in all of my fights. Like, I can get real tired, but if I can out wrestle you, I don't have to be a boring wrestler. I can take it down to the ground, and we can just play on the ground. There's a whole new element on the ground. There's that cage, there's eight cage walls around there, you know, or some, maybe you'll have the other ones. But as long as I can get you up against that cage, I don't need, you know, I can rely more on some of my wrestling techniques, using weight on, just like George St. Pierre's with his stuff. He's able to keep Condit constantly pressured against the cage. And Condit's at this point, he just doesn't have the energy to even push back. Like he was in the first place, but...
Yeah, not at all. You're right. I mean, he does something actually in this round. So he does something great when he gets the head kick and he goes for the finish, but he does something that drives me nuts to see. And GSP gets the takedown. Like you said, he throws the combination, pulls in, and gets that takedown. And then there's like 2 minutes and 25 seconds left, and Carlos Condit's on his back, and he body triangles off the bottom. And holds GSP there. And, like, man, if you're landing some devastating ground and pound from the bottom...
Those elbows were kind of cool, though.
They were cool, but those remind me of
elbows off a double. You know, like, when somebody's going for that double off the cage, and you're doing that lean over, that...
Yeah.
It's like a 3-9 or something, you know,
sure.
But... Yeah, but he, he,
but he wasn't doing anything that was going to finish the fight.
Yeah.
And he locks up an entirely defensive position. Like you're not activating your guard, you know, and in most of the other parts of the fight, he's got his foot on the hip. He's, you know, he's moving.
He has an active guard. Yeah.
You know, he's super active. And so for me to see him, you know, lock up a body triangle from the, like when he's in that defensive position, like when I see that happen a lot of times, I feel like that fighter has cashed his ticket at that point. Like, okay, I'm not winning this position, but like you have to try to get up, man. Like it's the only thing that's losing you this fight right now is when he is on top of you, because when they're on the feet, Condit's out. I mean, maybe GSP, like I said, is more, you know, he's more precise.
Yeah.
But Condit is throwing more and he's landing to the body and he's, you know, and he's landing combinations when he does go in. So you know, to see that situation, just like, it kind of pisses me off. As someone who, you know, I try hard not to be a huge fan of anybody anymore, because it really, I don't know, man. It's hard for me. You know, it kind of bums me out because I get too emotionally invested. You know, like I'm a big football fan. I'm the biggest 49er fan in the world, and like when I see shit go bad, it like breaks my heart, you know? And so, like when I get emotionally tied to a fighter in that way, it bums me out. And in this case, I've been watching Carlos Condit for a long time as a fan. And so I hate to see
See him just kind of give up, yeah, you know, man, it sucks. Yeah. Because that's one of those things where it was like we had just talked about the same thing with the Robbie Lawler instance. Like he almost had it. And then, he's stopping, you know, like,
yeah,
George kept the pressure coming, and like he had found that point of pressure where it was, he didn't even have to put out excruciating pressure. He didn't have to put out immense pressure.
Yeah.
He could have simply floated by, and the fact that since Carlos is just sitting there holding him in the body triangle, he could take his breather too. You know what? Those guys aren't stopping, and they still got, I don't know. I agree with you on that aspect of like it sucks to see somebody just hold the body triangle like that, but he's throwing.
Yeah, he's throwing
but nothing effective. Like
it's good. I'm sure those shots hurt, and I'm sure they made a difference in the fight, and I'm sure George St. Pierre did not like getting hit in his face by elbows and punches. But like
when was it that George caught a cut? Didn't
yeah, but it was early. That was like that the was second the early round.
Second round. Yeah. Okay. That was the okay. I was trying to remember, because I just remember that's one of those points where I just like looked at it. That by that point it looked like a bloodbath though. That was awesome.
Yeah, no, that was intense. I mean, there was blood everywhere for sure, but mostly from Condit.
Yeah,
I mean those cuts on your forehead, like they bleed a lot, and that was a deep cut. Mm-hmm. It might not have been like very wide. It wasn't like a. It didn't look like a forehead vagina, like
yeah.
You know what I mean, like one of those like BJ Penn
big cuts,
when he kicked Diego, or when Marvin Eastman got that nasty cut from, I think it was, Vitor Belfort.
Yeah,
his face wide open, like
yeah.
And it wasn't that kind of deal. It wasn't like a fight stopper, but it was, you know, I mean, it bled a lot for sure. But you know, so that kind of bummed me out to see like. A round where you have the like clearly the most dominant or most exciting thing that happens the entire fight, and then you know, and then you end the round like that. It kind of bummed me out,
right? But. And you know, judges, they look. I've always heard, always been told, and always thought, and it's about like the judges are gonna look at like how the round ends, and that's a big factor.
Totally.
When they're coming down up with their scorecards. Sometimes that last 30 seconds wins it.
Yeah, totally.
You know, that last 30 seconds is like, okay, well, I'm going to push it over towards this guy because guess what? He didn't stop him, or he was trying to win the fight.
Yeah, well, you know? or what state are you in? You know what I mean? Because you're in Vegas, maybe you're going to have a more educated judge than if you're in Texas. So the Texas Athletic Commission's fucking garbage, you know? And so repeatedly we've seen mistakes in, you know, there from, you know, from the larger organizations, you know? But then in the past, you know, you had judges who were boxing judges that were judging MMA, and you're like, what? Like, you don't know anything about the sport.
Right.
You know, in Oregon, we're very fortunate. They have a great program to teach people how to become judges. So if there's anybody out there who's really interested, you should consider jumping into that because – There are fighters out there who need that support, you know.
And fighters learn the judge's system too.
Totally. When you know there's a judge there mm-hmm. that values the takedown.
Know what they're scoring. I know Oregon's made modifications to their or like kind of put on a guideline of their scoring line. It's like what they're heavy on scoring on, and they send these emails and all the stuff that you can go in and go check out. We got our coaches keep up on the updates on all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
And see, that's I'm the fighter. I let my coach handle that. If you don't have a coach handling that for you, no, learning how what you need to do to be winning the fight. There's certain positions. Some as opposed to, you know, you got to know who's scoring at all times. Like the submission is scoring the points. The submission defense isn't really doing anything. Yeah. So,
I've seen fights locally here where the judges have scored it. You know, 2 out of 3 judges have scored it for the dude who's on the bottom because the guy who was on the top didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a rarity, but it happens. You know, it's not as likely to happen at the higher levels. I mean, you just don't see that very often. Gone are the days where a guy like Boss Rutten is going to win a UFC title off his back, you know, because he landed ferocious ground and pound against Kevin Randleman. You know, that doesn't mm-hmm. happen anymore. But you know, I mean, it happens. Let's jump back into round four, or let's jump into round four to start, I should say. So, you know, coming off of that round with the kick and then, you know, ending on the back, you might think Condit was a little bit deflated. At least I kind of thought that. But, man, in his corner, he seems super hype in between rounds. And, you know, his corner, they were giving him good advice and they were letting him know, you know, you have him hurt here. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you got to get in there and you got to keep going. And he opens up the fourth round with another head kick, like, and it lands again, but doesn't wobble GSP this time. And GSP does what GSP does and puts the fight against the fence. But this time, Condit does something that he hasn't done, where he goes for the switch and he stops the takedown. But GSP, like almost like he had a single, just ran with it and turned mm-hmm. the corner. And like, man, how deflated must Condit have felt? You know what I mean?
Once you get hit in one of those good things and having just that veteran still on you.
Right.
You,
well, you, and to hit it, to get the switch and turn the corner, and mm-hmm. then GSP just keeps, man, he just keeps his legs moving, and just next thing you know, like he completes the takedown. Like, man, that's got to suck so bad.
He's so consistent though. Like if you look at George Shapiro, he's so consistent with that. Like he'll go for it. We know he's going to go on the cage. You know he's going to take him down. You can't prepare it, you know. And but Carlos hits that sweep on it, and it's almost there. But it's just that muscle memory. George St. Pierre is still there. Still, he's just grinding on him. That's awesome. And I couldn't, you know, being in Condon's position, he's hitting that switch, and that's demoralizing. You know, you get everything that you can, and you still can't stop it. It's the same thing like we were just saying about like going for the finish on him, not getting that finish, going for that, and not getting that. Like George St. Pierre is just like the Terminator.
Yeah,
just keeps coming. Yeah.
If you don't know what hitting the switch is, so when GSP comes in for a takedown, Condit tries to defend that takedown by reaching between GSP's leg with his inside arm on his outside leg, and essentially he turns GSP over and it stops the takedown. And so, you know, for Condit, it's the first time he really tries to defend a takedown the entire fight. You know, in any like real situation, and just he can't do it. And then it's like that round, I think, is like quintessential GSP. Like he takes the punishment, he fights off the takedown, the takedown defense, and completes his takedown, and then just rides it out. For me watching it, I was kind of like, all right, here we go. Like,
and
this is the boring side of GSP to me. I mean, granted, it's dominant, I get it. But, like, I don't want to go watch a bunch of Sean Sherk fights either. Like, homeboy was super dominant when he was on top of people.
And that's true, you know. Like, that's one thing, you know, I would like to see a little bit more of it, or would have liked to, you know, doubt we'll see GSP coming back and dominating anybody anytime soon. Maybe some talk on Facebook once in a while, but you know, it's like if seeing his kind of wrestling, just mix it with like you're saying, Condit striking, you know, like if,
or just the aggression,
just it's just the aggression, yeah, going for that kill on it, you know. But that was also the thing too, is George St. Pierre at the same time knows how to get the win.
Yeah.
You know, so at that point, like, where that's the hard part as like a fighter, where you got to decide, like, okay, I've been in bad positions. I got to take that risk and I got to crank it up. I may, just like Condit did in three, I may gas out, but I got to go for that. I got to go for something. Or there's the fighters who say, like, okay, I know the system enough to know I won, like, or know how to win, how to win doing what it works. So it does get kind of, it can get boring to see. I could imagine what you're saying with the shirt thing. It's just laying on top, but he's pulling out a win.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely pulls out the win, but like for me, I would rather see him try to finish it. And I think about, you know, a fight like GSP had with I think it was the second fight, maybe it was the second fight with BJ Penn, and he was like, There was a hatred in his eyes.
Yeah, for BJ when he was Penn trying to time. Kill BJ Penn
and
that, like, fight.
And you know, Jason Prillo throws the towel in. I mean, and GSP is just in there pounding on him. And it's like, dude, you could do that to a lot of people. Like, you really could. And nobody throws knees to the side of the body in a ground and pound position the way GSP does. I mean, that will. Mm-hmm. I mean, that obviously will break your ribs.
I worked on picking that one up.
Nobody's finishing fights with broken ribs. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm sure they are. Like, it happens, but like if you have a severely broken rib, like, you're done, man. Like, you can't breathe. You can't laugh. You certainly can't take a punch.
But yeah, there was the Cub Swanson. I don't remember who it was that he dropped. Do you remember watching Cub Swanson throw that? I think it was a liver shot. He drops. He ends the fight with the liver shot. It was a tall, skinny guy. Nails him right in the body. Drops down. Fight's over. I mean, what's to say those can't happen with some of GSP's ground pressure? If you could just knee in the side, that doesn't take too much energy. And like Condit, at this point, is still a young guy trying to. He's still got some cardio, but GSP's got enough strength to keep on top of him with just laying there. And it gets kind of. I don't know. But, yeah, I get what you're saying. Like, if he could have pulled out, like, the old GSP, that's actually, I don't, you know, I got to go back and watch that BJ Penn GSP fight again, because, shoot, if I would have watched that anytime sooner, that could have been one of my favorite ones, just to see GSP. It was so good. Like, that was an epitome GHP, or GSP. You know, like, he came out ready for war on that one, ready and like hated if they had their first fight, right? That was the second one. That's the one where,
I could see how he'd be mad, because, you know, I would say a lot of people felt like GSP got a judge's decision in the first fight. A lot of people feel like BJ won that fight. I'm on record as being like the biggest BJ Penn fan ever, so like, you know, I personally was like, oh man, BJ got it. But you know, like, he got into GSP's head, and GSP is the type of fighter who lets people get into his head, man. Like, Nick Diaz got into his head, BJ Penn got into his head. I mean, he lets people do that. So he is certainly fights emotional.
He's a very emotional fighter.
I wonder if in this fight, did his emotions of caring for Carlos Condit as a friend get in the way? Do you know what I mean? Like, I know they say, like, oh, they trained on separate sides of the gym, blah, 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 because they knew one day they would clash. Like I don't buy that. There's no way. There's no way those guys completely avoided each other in the gym. Like, maybe they didn't, like, train heavily
together.
Why
would you?
But, like, why? Yeah, exactly. Why would you?
And you got that kind of talent in there. Yeah, you know they're using each other.
But, and like,
I can't, you know, I've never really been put in that position, like, I've seen it though. I've always wondered on it, you know. I've where guys can just go in against their own teammate, or you know, kind of still be aggressive with them, or I don't know, like, be a friend with them. There's the mindset on it, but GSP is especially a case, because he's such the mental fighter, like we're talking about. You know, like, maybe he was just having the friendship towards Condit, or just it. Maybe it was just kind of GSP's walk out, you know?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's hard for me to say, but it, you know, I mean, there's something to it. When you have a killer instinct in one fight and then not in the other, it's weird to me. I just don't understand that.
Coming off the layoff, there's so many factors in fighting, you know. There's tons of things that will change the whole fight. Each little thing could make a big difference. So, yeah. on a mental mindset, that mental compassion, that killer rage has to be there every time, mm-hmm. you know. And I see what you're saying on the spot where he didn't have it even towards the beginning. He didn't have that killer instinct until he started coming real solid with those 1-2s after being rocked. Kind of like, oh shit. I'm getting serious now.
Yeah.
But even then, like, nothing, not the old GSP, you know, like.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Not the old GSP. Not the GSP that would throw an axe kick to your stomach while you're on the ground.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not the GSP who would throw your legs to the side and drop a bomb on your face. Yeah, that guy's gone, you know, and I don't think we'll ever see him again. But in this fight, he just didn't, like, I don't know, man. I mean, maybe he did, and I'm looking at it the wrong way, but just didn't feel that way to me. And at the time, I remember watching this fight and feeling completely different about it versus watching it. You know, I rewatched it just today, and this happens a lot, you know. In your memory, you remember a fight one way, and I remember Condit being way more in that fight than he was. Man, Condit got, I would say this was a dominant win for GSP. I mean, outside of the head kick, this was, you know, this was a great win for GSP. He really fought. He fought decisively, and you know, like he made these, the decisions he made were, you know, I don't know how to say it. Like he knew what he wanted to do. He executed that game plan, and it worked for him. And, you know, respect for beating a guy like Carlos Condit. You know, I get mm-hmm. it. But, like, then I look at Condit and following that fight, dude is only 2-5, you know, after the Nick Diaz fight. You know, he loses to GSP. He's got the loss to Woodley, to Maya, to Lawler. And it's like, fuck, man. Like, did GSP just hit Condit at the exact right time? Did he hit Condit when Condit was on the downslope? I mean, I know Condit was still young when they fought, but he did have over 30 fights.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, he's still that veteran, plays a factor. Like, you know, I mean, these guys, they have 30, 40 fights. I mean, there's a guy, Jordan Mean, just fought a couple weeks ago for the UFC, and he's super duper young. I mean, he retired at like 25, but he had over 40 fights. You know, you have over 40 pro fights. You're 25 years old. I mean,
God and that's damn, and that starts going back into that spot of like, you gotta it. You age in the fight game, whether you're 25, 20, you know, you're some 30 or 40. Punches are punches. You eat them, you take them, and you know, you go in and you have so many of these fights too. And, like, so in the same, you know, when I'm thinking about, like, the GSP and the Carlos Condit aspect of, like, these guys are so many fight veterans. How do you, kind of back to what we were talking a little bit earlier with GSP's mentality on that, how do you have, like, so many fights and still keep that motivation? Like, does that make sense? You know, yeah, like,
totally. But I mean,
or still keep that, like, power drive, like, the same aggression, that same fear, that same, like, telling yourself, every fight is, and you see it, and so many guys do it. But there's also that fine line between like finding your comfort point too, and getting too comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, GSP could have even been getting too comfortable, not too comfortable to the point where he's losing the fight, but too comfortable to the point where he's losing the crowd.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think towards the end of his career he lost the crowd, but not in this fight. I mean, shit, yeah. You heard
no, the this fight was the blood made this fight too. That, yeah, and people, the head kick, and you know, like it was the blood, the head kick, and it was just like both of these guys, like they're just titans in the ring, titans in the cage. You know, like they're both big names, and they're both.
Yeah, but the crowd veterans. Was so decidedly on GSP's side, man. It was crazy. Like they were way for GSP, and I get it. You know, I mean, you know, you're fighting. I think the fight was in Canada, and you know, Canadians love GSP. You know, rightfully so. He's a national treasure for them. I get it. But like he did not lose. I would say he did not lose fans. I mean, you know, GSP just this year makes the announcement that he's going to come back, and then you know, obviously, we have things happen, and we haven't seen that. We haven't seen him back in the cage, but, you know, GSP making the announcement to come back was the biggest news of the week when that happened. You know, GSP is still a huge star, even though, you know, even though he's up there in age and he hasn't fought in years, like, he's still a huge star, and I think he always will be. I think you know, he's definitely going to be remembered as the, you know, at least to this point, the greatest welterweight we've ever seen. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, credit to Matt Hughes for doing what he did all those years, but he didn't do it against the you know, modern day MMA fighters that GSP
and
is
the modern day fighters. But is getting but so even much
now,
better.
Yeah, well, now exactly now I wonder what would happen if GSP had come into the UFC at this point because now
would he have
now,
been as average, like as great? Yeah,
exactly. That. Because some of the people he fought were not, you know, they were not top of the line, and the UFC did have to hunt down people who were willing to fight him. You know, I mean, respect to him. I mean, he fought a lot of great fighters, and he has you know, he retired the champ, and mm-hmm. you know, I mean, props to GSP for everything he's done.
He's a pioneer. But he's definitely a pioneer.
But, yeah, I mean, to me, Matt Hughes is the pioneer, and GSP is, you know, that second breed. And now we're on a whole another level of fighter. I mean, things are different now. You know, gone are the days where a guy can just be a dominant wrestler. I mean, and that's one of GSP's strongest suits, is that he's a great boxer, he's a great wrestler, and he's a great kickboxer, and you know, and he's probably, you know, one of the best wrestlers we've seen in the UFC. He, you know, like you were saying, you know, he wasn't like a college wrestler, high school wrestler, or whatever, but you know, he's so explosive athletically that his wrestling was next level. I mean, shit, he out wrestled Josh Koscheck, you know.
Yeah,
you know, he's out wrestling dudes that he should not out wrestle. But mm-hmm. you know, so getting back to the fight a little bit, we get into round five, and you know, Konda does have a good exchange early in the fifth round. They both kind of exchange well. Konda actually fights off a takedown, but GSP gets back to his feet super fast. And you know, eventually his pressure and pace put this fight away. You know, it's so different than the way anybody else fights. You know, his timing and the way that he uses that pressure, the pace, and the you know, and the precision in which he throws, you know, it's a different thing, and he used it so perfectly in this fight. And you know, watching the fight today, it wasn't as exciting as the first time I saw it, but the crowd was really into that fight. The commentators were really into the fight. And after the fight, Condit gets up and he puts his hands up and he's loving it because it's a bloody war.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it made me really respect both guys a lot. You know, not that I didn't already respect them both as athletes. But, you know, I respect the, especially Carlos Condit as a showman and as a warrior. You know, it's like it's crazy to see someone get up, you know, probably knowing that they lost the fight and still be thrilled that they had this badass fight. You know what
yeah.
I mean? I love that.
Those are the people that, like, their love shows in the sport, you know. Like, you can see Carlos Condit loves that. He loves those wars. He loves GSP. GSP maybe not love those wars as much, but he's good at them. He's very good at them.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's another big one, is just like, it's taking in the attitude of, like, not accepting loss. Like, Carlos Condit wasn't really at a point where it's like, oh, okay, I didn't lose that fight. He couldn't say he didn't lose that fight towards the end, but he got up, and like you're saying, he's cheering up. He's like able to pump everybody up, still be the good spirit, and keep the cheers going, you know, keep the cheers going, and GSP yeah. being a big part of that as well, you know, just like you're saying, he's got the crowd. But yeah, that was definitely one where it makes you look at it, and if you want to see, like, good, solid fight, and I feel that's right there is one of, is a solid fight to watch. Both guys, like, both go through the, like, diversity, you know, go through the hard parts. You're both fighters at one point or another. Each of the fighters had a point where they could have, you know, where they were winning the fight. George St. Pierre, and it's also like we were saying, that perfect example of the judge winner versus the guy trying to go finish him all the time. You know,
yeah.
So that was another great one, and you know, that was my favorite fight because of that. You know, just the fact, the attitude that all these guys had coming into the fight. I loved the fact Khan is like covered in blood, ready to go.
Yeah,
ready to go. Never stop. Another
round. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny that in that in round four of that fight, there's like 50 seconds left or something in the round, and you see Khan like look up at the clock, and they show his face. And you can tell he knows he lost. He's in a loss. Like he's not going to get the win, but he just keeps, you know. Yeah. I mean, he just keeps going. And there's some people who might not, you know. Some people might allow GSP to, you know. I'm not going to say they quit, but you know, let them get the side control and maybe get the stoppage. Who knows?
Although GSP wasn't going for the finish as much. Maybe he would have against a lesser efficient guy, you know. You can't take Conant's ground game away, you know, on that sense of like, maybe he just he showed up that night too and made it more difficult for GSP than it would have been on any other night, you know.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, GSP was still had just that just enough to pull out his win. And but and like you said, Condit definitely was a very worthy interim champ.
Totally.
That was he came in and did very well for that belt.
You know, today we have those two fighters in a position where we don't really there's big question marks for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you want to see from those guys? Do you want to see GSP fight again, or you just would you rather them just kind of disappear and we don't hear about it anymore?
That sounds horrible. GSP's my favorite fighter. I want to see him in his prime again. That will never happen, unfortunately.
I
want to see him come back and show if he still's got like some athleticism. If he's got like maybe one more just solid performance in him, you know.
Well, the fight they had lined up, you know, for the 185 title against Bisping. I mean, I wanted to see that fight.
Oh yeah,
I would have loved to have seen that. But yeah, I at this point, I kind of hope he sees that the sport maybe is fine without him. You know, I don't think he needs the money. I mean, maybe he does. I don't know. But But you know, I'd like to see him just kind of walk away, fade. You know, like don't get out there and perform below the level that you want to perform at. You know what I mean? And then
Bellator might be signing.
nah, GSP's not signing Bellator. That'll never happen. But Dana White won't let that go down.
Yeah.
Then you have Condit, you know, who's, you know, he just doesn't. In terms of the matches with the top five guys, he hasn't been able to pull it off.
Mm.
You know, as much as I respect him and I like him as a fighter and I want him to win, that's not for him. Now, he's a guy who I could see going to Bellator. I could see that. There's a very intriguing matchup over there with Rory McDonald, the dude he's got to win over. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing that. I can't imagine the UFC letting him go, but when you're 2-5 in your last seven fights.
What's the UFC's drop rate? Like, is it three losses or?
No, I mean, they don't really have one. I mean, it's whoever they want, you know? I mean,
Carlos has kept his earned, you know, his right to stick around through a few losses
I agree. I mean, if I'm the UFC, I don't let him go. I say, hey, Carlos, if you want to fight again, we'll have you on the card. But they did him no favors in his last fight. They matched him up against Demi Amaya, which was a stupid fight for him. He should have never taken that fight. It was completely ridiculous.
How'd that go?
He got choked out, like, immediately. And, you know, everybody could see the writing on the wall. That's a terrible matchup for Carlos Condit. And his coaches should have told him, bro, don't take that fight. Like, if I'm his coaches, I tell him, that is a bad matchup for you. Like, don't take this fight. You're not, if you're Carlos Condit, I understand it's like, you know, UFC title or bust. But dude, at this point, bro, you need to get a win before you can even talk about getting a UFC title. Mm-hmm. And then you go from a loss to go in and fight, to go in and fight Damian Maia. And your last like four losses have all been super tough, like, mm-hmm. like, you know, decisions or fights where you might have, you know, you might have won should one thing have gone differently. And so I don't know. I mean, I understand the position where, you know, they don't let him go because he's Carlos Condit and he's, you know, and he's still a draw and he's still a, you know, he's still a great talent.
Well, I mean, but somebody who's got as many fights against him, though, like, how many, what'd you say, how many fights does he have?
Oh, he's got a lot. He's got over 30 fights.
Yeah, so, like, you know, you look at it, fights. Though, like, numbers wise, who all can you throw at him? You know, if you're not wanting to like mismatch numbers too much.
Well, dude, there's people out there you can have him fight. I mean, there's, you know, you give him anybody from the top 15 who's below, you know, anybody from 15 to 10. Give him one of those guys. You know what yeah. I mean? Like he's clearly not the number 5, 4, 3, 2, or 1 fighter in the welterweight division right now. That's just not yeah. the case. You know, even if he's number 10, have him fight number 15, because what if number 15 is working his way up and all he needs is a shot against a dude like Carlos Condit? You know, yeah, Condit maybe gets the loss, but shit, man, now you know, like, how you have this new prospect. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's the way it's supposed to work, right? Like, you know, I'm not saying Carlos Condit sacrifice. Should go and be a gatekeeper, but like, if he wants to work his way back up, man, he's got to work his way back up. Eventually, you got to send him to the back of the line. It's mm-hmm. just got to happen. And maybe his back of the line isn't as far as yours or, you know, somebody else, like, you know, Johnny yeah. Hendricks. Like, Johnny Hendricks' back of the line is goddamn, you know, around the block somewhere, because when mm-hmm. shit hits the fan for him, it's bad, obviously, with his missing weight and stuff.
Yeah.
You don't have those issues with Carlos Condit. So, you know, maybe worst case scenario, he fights the number 10 guy, but like you don't put him in there against Damian Maia. That's yeah. stupid. So
send him out gracefully, you know, yeah, let him, you know, go out.
For me,
with smart fights.
Yeah, and I hear it from, you know, Condit's talked about it for a long time. Maybe it's time for him to retire. If he wants to retire, cool, man, do it. I totally support that. I love Carlos Condit, and I want to see him fight, but I don't want to see anybody put themselves in a position where they don't feel like they can get in there and win, and it's not worth it to sacrifice your body. So,
yeah,
you know, I guess for me, I would rather Condit walk away than go in and get in a dangerous matchup. You know, when I watch this fight, I think you know what, like, maybe this was the pinnacle for both of them.
Yeah, and you know, that's a scary one to think on. You know, it's weird for me personally. I'm 22 years old, but I look at like those kind of aspects of like just lots of fight veterans. I've had a lot of fights for especially like my age, but just you look at those type of guys and like you know, you got to wonder like at what numbers do you start like wondering that stuff? At what numbers? At what, like? And it's not, I don't mean just like numbers on like the record books. I mean that numbers are like what you're going through in practice. What you're going, like, how many hits are you taking during sparring rounds? How many? Yep. And that'll all add up.
Yeah,
totally. You know, and so you can be a young veteran, and you could be a young, almost retired veteran, like you were saying. And
yeah.
Not even, so it's just like there's that aspect of like you really don't want to see him go, but at the same time, like there's not everybody's a Randy Couture type guy. I don't know, Randy.
No, absolutely not. And you know what? Gone are the days of TRT. And mm-hmm. I'm not saying Randy Couture was doing TRT,
mm-hmm.
but I'm you know what I mean? Like, actually, I think he was. Wasn't he one of the guys that was listed? It doesn't matter. But like gone are those days, right? So now we don't see these guys like TRT Tour. We don't see Vitor yeah. walking out there fucking jacked. You know, you see Dad Bod Vitor, and you know, we're not gonna see that. So you're gonna see guys retiring younger, I think. And you know, GSP is obviously the exception to the rule. Like, dude is a freak super athlete.
He's an anomaly, like, man.
Yeah,
he's,
totally. There's not a lot of those guys. You know, John mm-hmm. Jones is a special kind of guy. You know what I mean? If he gets his shit together, he will, you know.
You see him come. Still, what's your thoughts? So, like, well, we still have a little bit of time on this one. So, what's your thoughts on with Jones? I want to know your opinion on him. What you think? What about him coming back and stuff like that?
I want to like John Jones. I've told people a lot of times.
Me
like,
too.
Like, I tried really hard to just, like, you know what? I'm going to turn around. I'm going to be a fan of this guy because I hated on him. Like, I just like other people, I was, you know, I was throwing shade on John Jones just because I just didn't like the way he acted. I don't like. And it's not even the way he acts, man. It's like, it's like, you know, when I sit down and I talk with people, I feel like I have a pretty good bullshit meter. Like, mm-hmm. and that dude is just full of shit, man. Like, I can see it. Like, when I hear him talk, when I hear him in interviews, it does him no favors. You know, he went on Joe Rogan. He seemed like a fucking weirdo, man. Like,
really?
Like, you know, he may be the nicest fucking guy in the world. And when he was here in Portland for Submission Underground, he was super nice to a bunch of the young fighters. He talked to a bunch of dudes. He gave them advice. And that's the John Jones I want to see, because that's the John Jones that I know exists. But then he goes on these, he goes on talk shows and he says the wrong thing, or he goes out and he gets busted doing blow, or he goes out and he does the hit and run thing, or mm-hmm. he fucking, you know, he talks a bunch of shit to a cop when he gets pulled over. Like, you know what, man? Like in this day and age, we've seen what can happen.
How young was he when he got that world title, though? Like, what?
He was the youngest ever,
23?
Right? No, I think he was younger than that. I thought he was like 21, 22 or something. I don't remember. But,
man, that
you know, at that point, he had already gone and totaled a Bentley, you know, wrapped it around a telephone pole, you know. He's lucky he's not dead.
Yeah.
So like, I like him as a fighter because he's an exciting fighter. But I think there are aspects of his game that are so overrated. And I think if a bunch of dudes who are super athletes who play in the NFL came into the UFC, we'd have a whole bunch of John Joneses. You know, it's just that most of those guys don't choose to fight MMA. They choose to go play football, you know, and or if they were smart, they'd go choose to go be boxers, because there hasn't been a dominant American heavyweight champion in a while, you know. Instead of going and being a defensive lineman for the Rams or something, you know, how about you go, you know, take up boxing, you know. But you got to do it at an early age, and a lot of guys don't want to commit to that, and I get it, because it's not as fun getting punched in the face as it is tackling a quarterback. I get it, you know. But so I think John Jones is incredible. He's an incredible talent, and I think he could have been the best of all time, but I think he's going to fuck it up again. I want to see this fight with DC so bad, and I can't wait too. For it to happen. But at this point, I can't believe John Jones isn't going to do something to fuck it up. There's no reason for me to think otherwise, because all he's done, except for the one time they fought, is screw it up. You know what I mean? Like, and so until it happens, it happens. You know, like I'm just...
Right now, you only got a rap sheet to look at. You know, man, that's...
I can't believe it. And his layoff, you know, when he had that other layoff and he came back and he had the tune-up fight before the DC fight, goddamn, he was lucky he did, because he would have got worked. And so I wonder,
what was that?
Who was it that he fought? Oh, goddamn it, I can't remember. Ovince St. Preux. He had that fight against Ovince St. Preux, and he's very lucky he did, because that John Jones does not beat Daniel Cormier. But, you know, all accounts say he's looking real tough in the gym, taking the fight very seriously. Photos look good, you know, who knows. But DC says he's been having a good camp, too. You know, reports are coming out good. I like DC playing this bad guy angle. I love it. You know, mm-hmm. I'm into that, you know. So we'll see. I don't know. I'm excited for it. But I have a hard time believing John Jones is gonna be able to show up.
Yeah, I want to see him do it so bad. But yeah, it's like those guys, you can't keep saying like, oh, it's okay, he's going to get his stuff together. It's okay. You can only look aside so many times. And he's lucky he doesn't have more taken away from him, you know. And
yeah, totally right.
So to still have these opportunities, like, I want to hope, as like a person, and like, you know, maybe it's just like my heart of a caring person, I want to see him come out. I want to see him clean up, do great. Maybe even use his little thing to find a way, you know, to find a way to like reach out to people or something. Maybe. But at the same time, like, numbers, I mean, it's a repeat thing. It's not like he's only made one mistake.
Yeah.
You know, and so I see what you're saying on that. Like, I don't know. It's just like the GSP fight. I don't think that I'll see GSP back in the ring as much, but I also kind of want to be wrong.
Yeah. No, you know, I tell you, I think if anybody can do it, GSP can, and, mm-hmm. you know, we'll see what happens. But I think that about covers it, man.
Heck yeah.
We got the GSP Condit fight under our belts here. So, Yeah, I mean, so your favorite fight, GSP, Carlos Condit, GSP, UFC Carlos 154. You know, maybe you'll have a new favorite fight if GSP comes back and gets another one. Who knows?
Maybe. Maybe if you could bring out that old GSP just one last time. One last time. And maybe they just don't test and let him play.
I'm just kidding. Well, before we take off, man, is anybody you want to give a shout out to? Any sponsors you want to thank or anything?
Right now, all the guys out at Art of War, Jason Georgiana. We got multiple guys fighting on this card with me. I'm not even going to try to name everything off, but yeah, no sponsors right now. Out there looking for sponsors. Anybody here? So you guys want to get out there?
You hear that? You hear that, Max Muscle? Where you at?
My Max Muscle, I've been wanting a sponsorship for you guys for a while, man. Just saying.
That's right. Somebody hit my boy Kevin up. He needs a...
Actually, I made a video earlier today. And Alistair was saying on my drive up here, there was a sponsor gave a call and he wants to sponsor in. So wish me luck, guys. Yeah, I'm going to be trying to close that deal next.
Yeah, awesome, man. You know, these young fighters need help, you know. I've said it many times. The young fighters are the future of the sport. And without these guys, there is no future for us to depend on. And we want to see this thing continue because people who love mixed martial arts, you know, they don't realize sometimes that the younger guys don't always have the support they need to get where they need to go. So if you're a business out there and you're looking to sponsor a young fighter, you know, and you want to reach out, Kevin's a great guy. He would love to represent your brand if as long as you guys align with what he's about. So, you know,
reach
out to people. Yeah. It's important, you know.
I'm on Instagram and
on
Instagram at Kevin Boehm 13.
Kevin Boehm, that's
BOEHM. Yep, KEVINBOEHM 13 at Gmail.
It's Boehm, like game, but with a B for pronouncing it. Just so you guys know, I kind of butchered that up front. Sorry.
It's okay. That's one that's been butchered my whole life.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll.
Hey, I've always made it a goal, though. You know what? Like, I'll know I made it when you guys are all pronouncing my name right.
There you go, man. Right on. Well, that wraps it up here. Thanks everybody for listening. I say it every time. I say it every time. There are a ton of great fights out there. I know it can be hard to pick just one, but think about it. What's your favorite fight?